welcome to the Owl's Nest. And this week we have a very special episode of the Owl's Nest. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, and joined with me currently is my trusty sidekick, Quentin Denny.
How's it going?
Doing pretty good. So it's kind of a weird week for us. Our producer, Nathan, is out of town on a trip, and myself, I'm going to be out of town for a couple of days, so it kind of messes with our recording schedule. So we're currently recording this little intro beforehand.
Have no fear, though. We have a great episode for everybody today.
We still have a great hour's worth of our golden voices.
Mixed with baseball players who are very good at what they do.
Indeed.
So today's episode, we have two athletes on. We have outfielder Deshaun Knowles from the Bahamas and pitcher Darian Williams. So those were both really good interviews. Deshaun Knowles being 18, we got to talk to him about being in the Bahamas, getting signed from the Bahamas. Darian talked about going to Prairie View A&M, so a historically black college, playing other sports. And we always ask that same question, the desert island question. Who would you bring to help you get off of a desert island?
Some pretty good answers that we got. So we'll start off first. We got two interviews this week. We'll start off with Deshaun Knowles, and we'll be back right after that. We're here with Owls outfielder Deshaun Knowles. Deshaun, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, yeah, we just thank you for joining us and just ask you a few questions, get to know you a little bit better for our fans and talk to you about Owls baseball and just you as a person and everything. And kind of the first question we wanted to ask you is you're from the Bahamas, and we just wanted to ask how you first got into baseball and what it was like growing up in the Bahamas.
So there are little leagues in the Bahamas, but some of the little league coaches decided to make like this sports academy, and they wanted me to come to the sports academy because they saw talent, and that's basically how my career took off.
Okay. When was that? How old were you?
I was 4 years old.
4 years old when the academy was made?
No, I was 4 years old when I started playing baseball. I was 11 when I first went to the academy.
Were you playing against guys who were older than you, same age?
Yeah, about like 2 years older than me.
2 years older than me? Okay.
And you were keeping up with them?
Yeah. I wouldn't say show them up, but... Yeah. I used to play a lot of summer ball. That was when I was like 14, 15. So when I started to go to summer ball trips.
When you were with the academy, did you ever go to any of the other islands to play or come to
America? Yeah, we'd go to Freeport for like this tournament. Some of the islands would come down. We'd have like this big tournament for all the Bahama islands. We'd always win.
Hey, for those who don't know, explain like the geography of the Bahamas.
Okay, so the Bahamas is like, the Bahamas is an archipelago, so it's like 15 minutes from Florida and like 15 minutes from Cuba. So it's the China Islands, 16 main islands. Nassau, where I'm from, is the capital. That's where the House of Parliament is, basically the White House for y'all. And Freeport, basically, is the second capital. So we'd go and play in Freeport, and all the other islands would come up and go in Freeport. And Freeport is up north, closer to Florida and Miami and stuff like that.
Okay. And so did you ever play any, like, the other countries too, like the Dominican,
Puerto Rico? Yeah, I've played in the Dominican Republic, played in the United States, and that's about it.
Okay. So growing up in the Bahamas, were there any other sports you were interested in or into?
Yeah, like basketball, track and field. I tried to play soccer.
You tried to play soccer?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
I got kicked a lot.
Let's say if we can get Twitter working, I think we have a video clip of you here playing some
basketball. Oh! No!
Can you give us a little bit of a play-by-play on some basketball here?
Oh my gosh, no!
So what's going on here, Deshaun?
So it looks like he went up for a layup.
Well, it looks like he went up for a windmill dunk. That's what it looks like.
The ball missed it, though.
The ball hit the side of the house.
I was wearing slippers. I was actually in Atlanta.
Really?
I was in Atlanta, yeah.
What were you doing in Atlanta?
my friend, his sister's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So have you ever played basketball since that or just give it up?
No, I've been playing basketball since that. I'm actually really good. That was just that was an off day.
All right. You'll have to send us some film later of you playing basketball for real.
Okay. Bet.
So other than baseball and apparently basketball, what other sport would you say you were the best at?
I mean, I've only played like seriously played like three sports: basketball, baseball, and track and field.
Okay.
So track and field would be the other sport.
What events did you do in track and field?
I did some field events, and I ran the 1 and the 2 and the 400 and the relays.
Nice.
What was your fastest time on the 1?
I've never got timed.
You never got timed?
No.
He just won.
Yeah.
He didn't get time.
It doesn't matter when you're winning.
So along with that, what were some of the other hobbies that you had outside of baseball?
Well, I draw when I'm like extremely bored. Hang out with friends. That's basically it. I mean, I'm an athletic guy, so I normally try to occupy myself with, like, other sports. Like, if I'm bored and I have, like, you know, chilling with my friends, we, like, play wiffle ball, you know. It's this game we call parking. So we'd, like, toss this tennis ball up and, like, you'd have to catch it, and you could only take 3 steps or however amount of steps you want. I mean, well, we have, like, rules to it, so you could only take, like, 3 steps. Before you throw the ball. If you take like 4 and you throw the ball and you hit the person, they have a free park. So you would have to stand up to the wall like with your head turned, and like he have to throw it as hard as he can at you anywhere. So yeah, that's what we basically do.
You beat up on each other?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That sounds awful. I would never want to play that with you or any of your friends. I mean, a tennis ball hurts enough, but when you have guys who play professional baseball throwing it too.
Did your brother play a lot too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Deshaun has a twin brother named Devon, right?
Yeah, he plays for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and he plays in the Yankees organization.
He actually got robbed yesterday.
He got robbed?
Yeah, he had a home run, but he got robbed.
Oh, yeah. Man. I thought you meant he got robbed for real.
I thought so too when he messaged me.
I was like, he's in New York. Did he get mugged? Like,
somewhere, yeah.
So is he playing for the Staten Island Yankees right now? Is that
no,
right?
He's in the GCL.
Okay.
Yankees, yeah. He signed a year after me.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So his career started like a year after mine.
So what was it like to play with him growing up?
With him? Yeah. It was fun, interesting. We always compete. I was faster, but he is faster now. But I still, like, you know, tell him, like, you ain't faster than me.
Who's older?
I'm older.
That's why. Yeah. It's always the older one.
We like, midnight, like, late nights, we'd be in the road, like, running, trying, like, just testing each other's speed. We give each other head starts. I remember this one time, we were in the road, and, like, we took off all our clothes, and, like, we said to ourselves, like, we was waiting for a car to come. So, for in order for us to not get seen naked in the road, we'd have to, like, be quick to get in the house. So, we was, like, waiting for a car. And as soon as the car come, we'd, like dash in the house. So we'd always come tied, though.
I mean, boxers, they chase around chickens. In the Bahamas, they run around naked trying not to be seen. You got to work on your speed somehow.
You can't teach speed, so got to learn it somehow.
I'm definitely not fast enough to try that.
No, I get seen for sure.
There's no way.
So you said you and your brother were super competitive. Like, was there ever a time where you guys got in a super bad fight because you were so competitive?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us, like, one instance maybe in particular?
So, let me see. So it was actually one of those times when we were running in the road. So he would always tell me, oh, he's faster than me, this and that. And we got our mother involved in it. And she took his side, obviously, because he's the younger twin. So, you know, when he went to sleep, I just was like running in the road. I ran like 15 times in a road. I like wanted to bet him the next day, but he didn't want it to race me. He knew why. I was ready for him. But yeah, that was a big argument.
Yeah, I think part of that kind of transitioned a little bit. Talk about your mom. Now, what role has she played really in your guys' lives? Getting to both where you are now.
A big role. It's one of my role models. So basically, she had to raise 5 children herself. She was married. She had my 3 older siblings, and then she got divorced and met our dad, and she had us. And I guess she stopped from there. But she basically took. She had to take care of the 5 of us. One, my older sister, she was in college. My other older brother, he was in college. And then she had me and my twin brother, who also was like struggling through school and stuff like that. And then we wanted to do baseball. So the first year in the academy, we were in the academy the first year, and the second year she was about to take us out because she couldn't afford both of us. She could only afford one, and it wouldn't be fair to the other if one was in the academy and the next one wasn't. So she was about to take us out, but our coach, my advisor now, basically like kind of my agent, he told her, you know, you pay for one, I pay for the next. Well, I give the next one a scholarship, try to get him a scholarship. And she said, okay. But little that she knew, he was paying for my school fee. So I basically was on a scholarship because he was paying for my school fee and she was paying for my twin brother. And yeah, she invests a lot of money in us, you know, and she'd always ask our dad to like carry us to practice or at least like just pick us up. Like, you don't have to drop us there. And he'd always say no, stuff like that. She'd ask for lunch money to give us. He'd say no normally, but every once in a while he'd chip in $20 for the both of us to share. But yeah, that's about it. She did a lot. So yeah, and just she came out here the other day. I hit a home run in front of her. So
there you go.
Yeah, so that's basically the highlight of my life. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we talked to JJ the other day, and his mom. He says how important she is, and I think that's a main thing with baseball players is like how involved their parents and how involved the family is. And I mean, it must be nice to have your brother there too, kind of playing with him, and have your mom being that role model and helping you through every step.
Yeah.
And what's your advisor's name?
Jerron Sands.
Jerron Sands. Shout out to Jerron Sands for helping you out too. What a good guy.
He actually played here.
Did he really?
Rick knows him.
Oh, that's right. That's who you and Rick kind of have that connection because he played for him. That's right. Yeah. And he played for him in St. George, right?
I think so.
Yeah, when they were the St. George Roadrunners when Rick was GMing down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baseball is a small world.
It really is.
So this is your second year here, or second year in pro baseball, doing pro baseball. What changes have you made since your first came up to Arizona and Orem?
Well, my first year, I was kind of shy. Didn't really knew what was coming. I was shell-shocked. But this year, well, I worked in the off-season last year. And, you know, I just... how I used to it now, like I done played my first year, put up some numbers, so I'm more comfortable this year. I mean, just going out and keep swinging, play the game, basically. Didn't really change anything.
Speaking of just keep swinging, you want to tell us about the home run derby you did in the Bahamas?
Oh, yeah.
About how that went and what the experience was like?
It was pretty fun. You know, I was up against Todd and that pitcher, but... Yeah, I lost. I get kicked out. But
how hard was it to have to hit
I mean, out. As you can see, the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
I was about to say. The wind is blowing pretty hard.
Yeah.
You're playing on the beach, hitting them into the ocean.
Yeah.
Which was probably an awesome experience.
Ooh, that ball must be out. Ooh! Bye-bye.
There's Deshaun play-by-play of a home run he hit.
But, yeah, that was pretty fun to, you know, show off our talent to the home crowd. And the kids, you can see the kids by the shore.
Yeah.
Having a lot of fun.
And you were just chatting it up with Todd the other day, weren't you?
Yeah, for the Rockies, the Grand Junction Rockies.
Yeah. So did you grow up with him? Were you pretty close with him?
Yeah, everybody in the Bahamas were pretty close. Like, we have a bond that's more than baseball, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the home run derby is pretty fun because we got a lot of American players come down too, like Monte Harrison, Bo Bichette. You know, get to meet some of the other prospects in the other organization. So
guys like
Tukey Toussaint.
Yeah,
I think it was some big leaguers came down too. But yeah,
so we got some quick fire questions for you, really quick. Just some some little questions that we just want to know your thoughts and your feelings on and what you could give us some advice on, especially because now, let's say we're going to the Bahamas, right? Yeah. What's the one thing we have to do if we go to the Bahamas? Besides go to the beach.
y'all have to. It's a must. Y'all have to go under the dock.
Under the dock?
Yes.
What do you do under the dock?
Drink. Drink and eat conch salad. And look at females.
Fair enough.
That's what's up.
Y'all feel more island-like. Like, y'all feel like y'all from the Bahamas.
Okay.
Okay. Music, eating conch salad, drinking, a click. I don't know. Y'all don't have a click over here. That's like a Bohemian bear.
Okay.
Yeah, click or whatever. Like Corona or whatever y'all like. Just chill. Flip-flops. Slouching back.
Okay, so speaking of that, if we want to feel like we're from the Bahamas, what's like some lingo we have to know if we're going to go to the Bahamas? Like I heard one. I don't know if this is Bahamas or if it's somewhere else, but like Wagwan. Is that something?
That's more like Caribbean.
Okay.
Like Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Bahamas, you got to, like, if you want, like, okay, to greet someone, like, you know, like, hey, what's up? Or like, how you doing? Like, how'd yo?
How'd yo?
Yeah, like, basically, it's how's it going? But we broke it down. How'd go? Yeah, and the response is everything cool. Not thing, but ting.
Everything cool.
Yeah, everything cool.
Okay. All right, write that down. Yeah.
Make sure I got that one down.
You have the translation for that, too?
I'll Google do that later.
Okay. Google translate it.
So, conch salad, going under the dock, and we're good. So,
all right.
We'll plan our next trip to the Bahamas.
We're basically from the Bahamas now.
Yeah. And so you're a switch hitter. When did that start happening?
So I started batting left-handed in my backyard when I was like 9. But I started to do it in games when I was like 13. And I just took off from there.
Is your left-handed side your better side?
Yes,
or your power
by
side?
By far.
Which one do you hate going against more, right-handed pitchers or left-handed? Left-handed pitchers.
Yes, by far.
Because then he has to go to his right-handed.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
There aren't a lot of lefties in the league, so I barely bat right-handed. So I barely practice it, so.
For like BP, how often will you go right-handed?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Just live BP in the game.
Only... Okay, so if it's a lefty starting, I'd ask a hitting coach, like, who? Well, if it's a lefty starting, I'd normally bat first. But if it's a righty, I'd bat third. So if it's a lefty starting, I'd practice right hand. But not really, you know, like, try, work on stuff, just get through it. You know, if I get a hit, I get a hit. If I don't get a hit, then I don't get a hit. It's just...
That's a good way to think about it, yeah. When a lot of people get caught up, if they don't get hits, and that kind of like brings them down. So
yeah, I know I good, so I don't worry about that.
There you go.
So Jeremiah said that you have the best cleat game in the clubhouse.
Oh, we see it right now.
Yeah, we can see it with the Jordans right now.
Looking Jordans looking clean. Today.
I'm actually trying to get sponsored by Jordan.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Same. Okay, so Jordan, do you hear that? We're trying to get Deshaun a sponsorship right now.
Yeah, really. We are.
He in talks right now? Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, so that being said, who do you think has the best cleat game in the clubhouse right now?
Oof. I mean, everybody else have like the same cleats. Except no, Varia actually have some Jordan cleats, the 13s, the white and red. They kind of fly. But JJ actually have some Heat too. He just didn't bring it out. So in spring training, when he played in the big league spring training game, he had on like these Yeezys cleats. He didn't bring it out here. I don't know why, but yeah, they kind of fire too. Yeah, those cleats.
Yeah, the Yeezy cleats.
Yeah.
You need to get on him. Tell him to bring those.
No,
on
I do not need to get on him. I don't think I'm
in the game.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we should.
So we JJ should. Said Deshaun has the best, and Deshaun says, well, Jose.
JJ and Jose. Now, I ain't saying JJ because he said I had the best, but you know, his cleats are kind of they kind of fly.
Yeah.
Yeezy's cleats.
What are the most common cleats in the clubhouse? You said everyone kind of has the same ones.
Adidas.
A lot of Adidas.
A lot of Adidas.
It feels like Adidas is but really coming up enough on the cleat game.
Checks over strikes. Huh? Here we go.
Attaboy.
Jumpman over checks.
Alrighty, so this next question, as I can relate to, is word on the street is that you're a big SpongeBob fan.
Oof.
And I am as well. We've got a picture here that we'll add in on the post for social media. That you drew SpongeBob from the Ripped Pants episode.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
So that was the question that I had was, what is your go-to SpongeBob episode, your favorite one or your favorite quote from a SpongeBob
one,
episode?
The one, the hash-slinging slasher.
That's a good one.
That's funny. But yeah, SpongeBob, that's my show. That's my favorite show. My favorite movie, too. SpongeBob the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The original one or the newest one?
Both.
You like both?
Yeah. The original one is, that's OG.
The one with David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
The Hoff.
The Hoff.
Probably for me, one of my favorite ones is Pizza Delivery.
Oh, that's funny too. That's funny.
So good.
I watched that last night.
Really? Yeah. So you still watch Keeping Up with
Yeah, that? I have. At my house, parents' house, they have like these DVDs. Like, it have like 100 episodes of SpongeBob on it.
Dang. Skylar's jealous now.
They're all on Hulu, so or not Hulu,
are they?
Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah. Oh, for real?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he was watching the clubhouse when I went to go get him for the interview.
Really? Yeah, I was. What episode it was? It was with the wind when it's blowing through his holes, jellyfishes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, can you do the SpongeBob laugh at all?
I don't know.
Can you give it your best try?
There you go. That's better than I can do.
Yeah, the way
that
I can do mine.
Do yours.
Because I can do it.
Not too loud.
I'll take the headset off real quick.
Still pretty loud, but yeah.
Just destroyed everybody listening.
Skylar's one claim. Multiple claims, but that's his most proud one.
Yeah, that's one I've practiced a lot in my life.
It doesn't show.
Yeah. SpongeBob, pretty good.
Yeah.
So we wanted to know what your favorite food is. Like, what's your go-to food? Just if you're just, I don't know, just hungry after a game.
Five guys.
What do you get at Five Guys?
Oof, cheeseburger with grilled onion, grilled mushroom, cheese, barbecue sauce, ketchup.
Okay, now I know where I'm going for lunch.
Everything.
Sounds so good right now.
I know. You can't forget the Oreo cookie shake with the whipped cream.
Ooh, yeah.
And the little Cajun fries.
I was just about to ask, Cajun or normal, so good choice.
Oof, Cajun. Oof.
What about Bahama? It was conch salad. Would that be your go-to one?
Oh, yeah. Conch salad, conch fritters. You also try guava duff. That's like a pastry. That's like a cake with your pour, like, a little sauce on it. My mom brought it to the house to my house parents for a gift when she came down here, and they loved it.
Really?
Yeah. What's it called?
Guava duff.
Guava duff?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's cake, it's probably really good.
Yeah, it's probably amazing. So yeah.
It really
the
is.
The sauce on top?
Yeah.
It really is.
Okay, so then one last quick fire question. We had a little would you rather. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses, or would you rather fight one horse-sized duck?
We ask the hard hitting questions on the Owl's Nest.
The second one.
You'd rather fight a giant duck?
Yeah.
You think you could take on a giant duck?
Oh, yeah.
A duck that's like 10 feet tall?
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
He's fast. You just run around
it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then his brother will run around faster, right?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
He will not. We actually have a bet. $1,000 whoever make it to the big leagues first.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know, Devon, if you're hearing this, you're going to have to give me $1,000, buddy.
Get the checkbook ready.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Deshaun, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute delight having you here. You're a guy, we definitely enjoy having you on the Owls and spending time with us.
Thank you for having me.
So best of luck to you and with your continued success, and hopefully you can get that $1,000 bet.
Yeah, get that $1,000.
Thank you.
Yep.
And we're back here on the Owl's Nest. That was Deshaun Knowles. How fun was that interview?
That was a great interview. Too bad Nathan and Connor aren't here. But you know what the best part is? We can say whatever we want about them.
Stats.
Stats. My wife. My wife.
No, we definitely appreciate Nathan and Connor and all that they bring to the show, especially Nathan. He does a lot of research for us.
Nathan, one of those guys, hopefully he hears this. We'll see. If we get a text in the middle of next week, we'll know that he listened to this episode.
And it really will make it a very special episode.
Yeah, Nathan does a lot of things behind the scenes. He was on with the first episode, decided to take more of a producing role, and decided to do more of like the stat packs for us that we have. He has a lot of things up on the video board while we're, not the video board at the stadium, but a TV that we have while we're doing the episode. So we're grateful for Nathan. Connor gives us the key to the stadium to be able to record these.
And we literally could not do this without him.
We literally would not be able to do this. But I want to say one thing about Deshaun. So we pulled up a video from him when he was doing the home run contest in the Bahamas for the event that they had down there. And the one thing that I want to say about that was how hard it would have been. We kind of explained a little bit of how hard it would be to hit home runs there. But literally, they're on a beach hitting them into water, which is nobody really does that.
Yeah, it's like the sort of the layout is they're on like the edge, basically the shoreline, like, and they're on this big black platform that they built, and more or less to simulate enough room for a batter to actually be swinging and have a guy throwing the balls.
Mm-hmm. And they're hitting it straight into this wind that's coming in. So if that's how most beaches are, the wind comes in from the ocean to the shore. So you're hitting into water, which you don't have the sight lines of a fence. It's more of like a barrier in the water.
Yeah, just like a buoy barrier. And there's like boats out there, but it was really cool.
Yeah. So if you have the chance, look up Deshaun and his home run attempt at that event. It's worth a watch to see. Bo Bichette won it overall in the end. But I think Skyler's favorite part of that interview was being able to do the SpongeBob voice with him.
It was amazing.
Very underrated SpongeBob fan. You can talk to Deshaun for hours, basically, about SpongeBob.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun interview.
But next we have an interview with Darian Williams, pitcher for the Oramals, relief pitcher, kind of comes in and cleans up the dirty work when runners are on, kind of late inning work. So we had a really good interview with Darian Williams, and we'll talk to you after that interview.
We're joined by Owls pitcher Darian Williams. Darian, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Hey, yeah. We just got to start off with your outfit right now. If you could kind of, you're looking good. If you can kind of walk us through this for our audio listeners, because how you put together these looks.
Well, my girlfriend bought me the shirt, so, you know, it feels good to wear my girlfriend's shirt. You know, just had to, you can't go wrong wearing Vans, you know.
True.
Vans.
All year.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, skinny jeans, good fit. And so, yeah.
Looking better than any of us will ever look.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously. But, nah. I mean, we've seen a lot of the outfits you wear coming in and out of the clubhouse. Are you the drip god in the clubhouse?
I'm not a drip god. I'm just, I don't know how to explain it.
So where do you get most of your inspiration then for? Is it your girlfriend or other people online?
I just like to feel good, look good, you know.
Play good?
Just look good, you feel good, you know what I mean? It's a better day, you know what I mean?
Would people consider you like the Russell Westbrook of the clubhouse then? Like, actually, you're always looking good coming in?
I was called the Russell Westbrook of you know, of the team before.
Yeah.
On Instagram. So it was pretty cool to have somebody think that of me.
Nice, man. Yeah, I mean, I would love to look like Russell Westbrook, but I can't afford to look like Russell Westbrook. So
I can't pull it off.
Yeah, that too.
Jeans, athletic T-shirt, and
I don't think I could pull off a media like safety vest, or photographer, or whatever it was.
The only question is, those real prescription glasses?
No.
There you go.
No.
That's what I aspire to be.
Yeah, one day, Connor. Yeah, but so we're here. We're talking about you and your career and playing professional baseball, and even before that. So you grew up in Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
Football. Tell us about that. Was that in your life? Did you play football?
I did play football. I played football starting seventh grade year. My first year playing tackle football. I played in high school. Junior year, played on varsity. Senior year, played on varsity as well. I didn't have a bad year, but it wasn't like the greatest year ever. Like, we didn't. We had a run receiver who was really good, and he's actually on the Raiders right now. And so, you know, who wouldn't throw him the ball?
Yeah.
You know
what, I mean? What position did you play?
I played receiver, and he played the other side of the field.
Other side.
So you
so
like,
always other side, or
yeah, it's always like opposite. Some? They gave me a little bit. They gave me a little bit. I tried to do it when I could with the ball when I had it.
So. Exactly. Yep. Football, another one of those sports I couldn't play. Wasn't fast enough, couldn't tackle. I did play flag football, but they put me at center. So yeah. I think that ruined it forever.
They probably put everybody at center, though. You know what I mean? They had to let everybody just rotate.
Yep.
So, you know.
Except for me, apparently. They're like, this guy looks a little too slow. Let's just keep him at center. But, so, how big was it, though? Texas football, high school.
Texas football is, like, a very big thing. You know, like, I even asked some of the guys here, is Texas football like a thing they hear in their states? And they're like, yeah, Texas football is something they, you know, they hear. And so, you know, the town I was in, you know, you don't see a lot of big guys. You know what I mean? You see like a lot of average size guys. And, you know, you go around the Houston areas and the Dallas area, you see like the actual Alabama size guys. And so it was like it's just different in different parts of Texas. And that's probably where the actual mindset of, you know, how good football is in Texas comes from, because of the big cities and how big the players are.
Do you still follow any like the high school football, or just moved on from it?
Not really. Yeah. I just kind of moved on from it.
What about college football?
Yes.
You're big in college?
Yeah, I don't really have like a favorite team in college. You know, my dad, he's a big Texas A&M fan. So, you know, I kind of root for them if I'm watching it. But, you know, I kind of wanted Clemson to win this last championship. You know, somebody Alabama, you know, they just win everything. You know, exactly. Want to root for somebody else for once.
Exactly. Do you have a team you root against?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
You just like good football? You just like watching a good game?
I mean, I like watching the fourth quarter.
There you go. There you go. Are there any other sports you like to watch besides football? I mean, we're talking about football a lot just because you're from Texas, but you like basketball?
Yeah, basketball.
Do you have a team?
I have a favorite player.
Who's your favorite player?
Kevin Durant. So
hey, me too. Let's go.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. So I got every single one of his jerseys, and I already told my wife. I was really? Like, I have to get a Nets jersey now.
Yeah. I told my girlfriend, we got to get some Nets gear, man.
There we go.
So that's my favorite team this year. So, yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad guy to like either.
Not, yeah.
Some not people really. Might think so, but I'm a fanboy. He can do nothing wrong.
True.
True.
We'll let you keep thinking that.
Whatever, Quinn.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit. So you went to Prairie View, A&M, right?
Yeah.
What was that like, playing there, going to school there?
Okay, so Prairie View is a good school. You know, it's a historically black college. You know, some people might have a different perspective on the actual experience there, but I found it a very good experience. It's a very good good environment, a very good learning environment. The sports there, you know, may not be as big as other schools, but you do have quality talent there. And so I was, you know, it feels good to get drafted out of a college that represents your own culture, your own race.
Yeah. So you played 4 years there?
Yes.
You graduate?
I did.
What was your major?
My major was political science, and I had a minor in legal studies.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
So is that the backup plan? If baseball doesn't work out, you'd be like a politician or something?
Yeah, my backup plan is to be a lawyer.
Okay.
So yeah, nice. That's the backup.
It's a pretty good backup plan.
Yeah.
It's like if the MLB doesn't work out, I'll just go make a bunch of money somewhere else.
That's a legit major, too. Political science is no joke.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So what kind of sparked that interest to choose that major?
you know, it's just the courthouse, you know, I find the courthouse like kind of interesting, you know, just the fact that you have to bring evidence and argue against somebody else with their evidence and you try to make your evidence sound better than theirs. It's just like, I try to make people believe your evidence more, you know. I think that's kind of cool and kind of fun to actually do. That's what kind of drives me. And so, yeah.
Are you big into arguing against other teammates or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who do you argue with the most?
I actually had an argument with one of the coaches the other day about something in sports. And so we went like all like probably from like the fifth inning on. It was like
really
just debating about a topic. It was crazy.
What was it about?
It was about the NBA in baseball. And another day we was like talking about like Giannis and like either like if Giannis was like the best basketball player in the league or if it's harder to get drafted from basketball to baseball, just stuff like that.
What was your position?
My position was okay. So I felt like the NBA, you know, is. Baseball is harder to get to the league, okay. You know. But you know, it's I don't really know how you know I feel about the position because you know basketball they don't really have a minor league system. They have college, and you know they draft the best college players, and also around the world. In baseball, you know the college for baseball is you can kind of say minor league baseball. You know what I mean? Because like you know if you only had two rounds and you go straight to the league, you're gonna be like probably on the bench for a few years, like the NBA players, and so it's kind of like the same. It kind of like carries itself, weighs itself out at the same time. So it wasn't it wasn't like I was just biasing. It's one thing, you know. So
true. I think people don't understand how hard it is to like grind it through the minor league system.
Yeah,
like that's what we're trying to help people understand is like it's a grind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is a grind. You know what I mean? Like no other sport has to go through what we go through. You
NFL,
know?
There's no minor leagues.
Other sports, they just go straight to the league or they're on the actual practice roster. And, you know, but like now here, it's actually like you might feel more relieved on making it to the big leagues and more accomplished because of what you went through in the minor leagues.
So it's an actual process.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people have no idea about the Owls either because I get asked all the time when I say I work for the Owls. They're like, oh, is that that semi-pro team or like that summer college team? And I'm like, no. It's a professional baseball team, affiliate of the Angels, and people have no idea what you guys do.
Exactly, yeah. It's, I don't know, man. It probably just goes back to like just trying to like put it out there, you know what I mean? Just letting people aware, but some people are just not really interested in it, so they're really not going to try to go get the information anyway. So,
and especially you think of a lot of people, they like to see immediate results. So that's what we see from a lot of the other sports, like football, basketball. You can have an immediate impact.
Yeah, of course.
Whereas, like in your position, you're kind of a long term, like hopefully in the future, kind of thing to work towards.
Of course, exactly.
And that's like with anyone in baseball nowadays. Like no matter how good you are, you're going to play in the minor leagues.
Exactly. No matter how good you are.
Yeah, I mean, even Mike Trout, this is the only place he skipped in the system. Otherwise, he went from single A on up. Yep. I mean, he was a little bit of a fast track pace route, but I mean, he still had to go through it.
Yep, of course.
So going back to Prairie View and your times there. So your first 2 years, you were a two-way player.
Mm-hmm.
How good were you at hitting?
You can
brag if you need to or be as honest as you need to.
I was okay.
Okay?
I was okay.
Do you have power?
I had a little bit of power.
There you go. We didn't, so that's why we're here. We continue to say this. That's why we're still here interviewing people.
That's why we started a podcast.
Yeah. But also another interesting thing we found about Prairie View is a notable alumni, Mr. T.
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
I know about that.
Is that like a thing that everyone there knows?
I don't know. It's more of a, if you look up it up on like, if you look it up on Google, you find Mr. T and you see like, another baseball legend there.
Cecil Cooper?
Yes, Cecil Cooper. And you see, like, there's somebody else there I forgot. But yes, Mr. T and Cecil Cooper, they're not really, like, on, like, a billboard or anything like that. So most people probably don't know that. But I actually looked it up, and, you know, I saw, like, this guy went here. He went here. He played baseball here, and, you know, it was kind of cool.
Have you ever seen any movies or anything with Mr. T in it?
I have. I forgot the movie, but I seen one. And there's one movie that everybody like sees that one clip. And I don't know what it is called.
Is it Rocky? Or is it another one?
Probably Rocky and probably another one.
Yeah. A-Team Rocky, that's about it.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's like, he's a legend in the movie game. But yeah, I mean, our school, no notable alumni like that. So we're still hoping.
Nope. Yep.
Maybe Connor. It'll be Connor in the future.
Nope.
What school did you go to?
We go to school up in Idaho. So
Idaho, okay.
Yeah, BYU Idaho. No one.
We have to live out our dreams of baseball, playing intramural softball.
So. Yep. Yeah. No sports teams.
So speaking of your college days, what would you say the craziest thing you ever did in college was?
Craziest that you can't tell us.
Yeah, that you can tell us.
I wasn't really a wild person. I always stayed in my apartment. You know, I always hung with my girlfriend and my friends. So it wasn't, I didn't do probably too much crazy things at all. It was, but the most crazy thing I can think of was, I really don't have anything. Like, I don't know anything crazy thing I did. I was, you know, some of my teammates probably call me boring. That's how not crazy I was.
So then what was your favorite thing to do in college? So you hung out with your girlfriend, your friends. Like, what'd you guys do?
Yeah, hung out with my girlfriend, hang out with friends, play 2K a lot.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2K was like a, you know, 2K was a big thing for me. I took 2K seriously.
So the next segment of the Owl's Nest will be Connor versus Darian in 2K.
We can do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
What about this tweet up here that you did? Snowball fight, trying to set that up.
Oh,
you have a tweet here where he says, if there's enough snow, my teammates and I will battle anyone to a snowball fight. Does that still stand? Do you think you guys could take anyone on?
Here, probably. I'm looking at the people there. Let me see. You have Xavier, Killian. Arsenal Alexis, you probably won't touch him with a snowball. He's pretty fast.
Have you ever been in a snowball fight?
I have not. There's not much snow in Texas at all.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But that we actually did not even do that. I think it was it might have been I probably like tried calling out the other sports and
call it the football team and everyone else.
So yeah, I think that's what we tried doing was having like the football team or anybody like try to battle us in a snowball fight. So.
Thing. If only we could get enough snow to get it.
Yeah.
See who would actually be the dominant sports team in Prairie View.
Yeah. I think somebody actually commented that was maybe on the football team, but I'm not for sure.
Huh. Man. Well, you got to come back to Orem in the winter. Then we can have a snowball fight.
Yeah. Of course.
Don't come back. It's too cold.
Yeah. Don't come back. Stay in Texas. It's warm and nice there. So we had a couple of questions about like just obviously you're a pitcher for the team. And so we wanted to know what's your favorite pitch in your rotation that you've got? What do you like throwing the most?
I like getting ahead with the fastball. And, you know, my favorite pitch to throw is my splitter because it's just try to get the hitter to swing and miss. And, you know, once they do swing and miss, it's a good feeling like, dang, I threw a really good pitch. So that's probably like my favorite pitch to throw is just a splitter in the action it has. So
nice.
Yeah.
As far as like your routine, what do you do prepare pregame?
My routine is, foam roll. You know, I get my arm ready. You know, I say prayers before I go in. I say multiple prayers before I go in. And I just try to just make sure I'm good to just go in the game. Just make sure I have enough throws in the bullpen to make sure I don't, you know, feel tight whenever I do go in the game. I just want to feel loose and I just want to feel, you know, athletic when I go in the game.
And so along with that, we've seen you come in a lot of kind of high-pressure situations, runners on base with a lot of traffic. How do you stay in that mentality of staying calm in those situations?
Just really like a chill mindset mentality. I just really just try to just stay calm, stay chill. You know, it's not the end of the world if something bad happens, so you just got to keep that mindset at all times. Like, you know, you just don't think about the situation. Just think about the batter you're on. Think about that pitch you're finna throw. Just don't think too ahead of it because once you think too ahead of it, you might mess up on what is happening at the now moment. So that's I try to keep on with like what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, because definitely I've seen that's something that I think a lot of young pitchers have to learn is how to control your emotions. That's a big battle in baseball because that's something I always dealt with from time to time when I was growing up playing in high school.
Yeah.
It's keeping those emotions in check while you're on the mound.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we've seen a lot of people who, like, come out and say, being a closer, being a late inning guy, it is stressful. And it's something that you don't understand until you're in one of those situations. And so, I mean, what are the pitching coaches, what are they telling you to help you? And like in the bullpen, especially when you're going into those.
We have practice before the game, and you know, the practice before the game is really where you get all your work in. You have your pitch development, you have the rotation development, which is hip and shoulder separation, and the coaches, they're there with you. They have a plan for you, and they just tell you what you need to work on, how you should get better at that, how they can help you get better with that, and they have things in store for you to get better. Before the game, before you go into the game, they're just back there. They kind of just let you do what you want to do. You know what I mean? They don't want to interrupt your process. But if they see anything wrong or anything you need to work on, they're, all right, you know, you might want to try this, try that, or, you know, might want to put some more intent into the ball just to get that actual game feel into it. But they're really helpful as in, you know, going into the game in preparation for the actual game.
And a new rule that we talked about that they're doing in the Atlantic League, so independent baseball, is the stealing first rule. We want to know, as a pitcher, the first pitcher we've had on the podcast, what your thought of that rule is.
So have you heard about it, know what it is?
No.
So basically what the rule is if at any point there's like a pass ball, the runner, no matter what the count, the runner can take off for first base. So basically stealing first.
Oh. Wow. That's like, that's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah.
If that's, I don't know, that any count.
Yeah.
As long as no one's on first, I'm pretty sure.
I think it works with a person on first. Someone on first,
yeah. Yeah. So if it's a pass ball, they're going to first.
I don't like that.
Exactly. We're in the same boat then. We hate this rule. All four of us here, we hate that rule.
Yeah, that's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, of course, you know, the pitcher throw the ball in the zone, but, like, you know, you might have a night where, like, you probably just can't find the zone, or you might spike an off-speed pitch, and, like, they just go, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, that's what we said, is that we felt like it doesn't really allow the hitter to, like, earn first base. Exactly. It's just kind of like, oh, the pitcher's having an off night, like you said, it's just kind of giving it to
like
him.
Like a bailout, really.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you have somebody 0-2, you throw a curveball in the dirt, and it just bounces to the dugout. This is a free pass for them, regardless of a swing or not.
We thought of guys like Max Scherzer, Chris Sale, who throw nasty sliders and nasty curveballs, and that's they're throwing an amazing pitch, but the guy still gets to benefit from swinging and missing.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, we have the swing and miss, you can run. They should probably, you know.
That strike three call one is still one I want out of the game.
I don't really like the that idea.
Yeah, we saw it in one of the game, yesterday's game, where a situation happened like that, where Jeans just slid and it bounced off him, strike three, gets first base.
Yeah.
It still counts as a strikeout, but who cares? Like, I'd rather get the out than have a strikeout.
And actually, like, the out doesn't even count, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes, like, if a runner's not even on first base, like, swing and miss, ball in the dirt, goes behind the catcher, get the runner safe. Sometimes that can be kind of stressful as well, because as a pitcher, you know, like, you deserve that. You earned that out.
Yeah.
And it's just like he's on base now with no outs. And so it's kind of like you have to pitch three more batters to get three more outs, or two more batters to get a double play.
Exactly. You have at least three more pitches.
Exactly.
If you're going three innings and you have a high pitch count and you're just trying to get out of it as quick as you can.
Exactly.
That's more wear and tear on your arm, more stress.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement. We hate that called three strike rule, the one that's in play right now, and the stealing first.
Yeah.
We think they're both awful rules.
Yeah. But yeah, I understand the I'm more against the actual the pass ball go.
Yes.
That was yes.
So we have some just quick fire questions that we want to talk to you about. Connor has some would you rather questions.
Yeah, so would you rather have to announce any time you have to fart, like really loudly, like you have to announce to everybody that you have to fart or pee your pants daily? But you don't have to tell anyone.
Oh, man. Like, really loud, like, I have to fart.
Yeah, like, if you're in the clubhouse, all the guys were like, I have to fart. You're with your family and your girlfriend, you're like, I have to fart. And then you, like, let it go. Or you just pee your pants daily.
Oh, man. I'll probably do the farting when I'm staying home all day.
Just like college, just stay in your apartment all the time.
Yeah. Play 2K.
Play 2K.
Gotta let everybody know that you're playing against the 2K yep. guys.
Yeah, you're right online now. With a random. Yep. You're like, I got a fart, dude.
I'm just imagining all the situations. They're like sitting in a funeral. And like, oh, I have to fart.
That's crazy.
That's definitely not it. Yeah.
Okay, so one more for you then. Would you rather start every sentence with, hey, idiot, or end every sentence with, haha, just kidding?
That's tough.
Yeah.
The hard-hitting questions.
So just put it in perspective. It's like, anytime you want to talk to your girlfriend, you have to say, hey, idiot. Or like anytime you tell her, I love you, you're like, haha, just kidding.
Or if you're at a funeral, like, I'm sorry for your loss.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. That's
crazy. Hey, idiot, I'm sorry for your loss.
You gotta pick one though.
I don't know. That's tough. Hey, idiot. That's rude, man. That's rude. I don't know. And just kidding. Just kidding is probably just more a little bit lenient. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. You get away with a little bit more with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
going for a job interview. Hey, idiot. It's nice to meet you.
I'll probably go with that. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Not a bad one.
Nice. That's a good one.
And so, inspired by your snowball tweet, we want to know a couple things. So, you're stranded on a desert island. Okay. Who are the two teammates that you bring with you to get off?
A desert island?
Yeah.
To get off the island?
To get off the island. Who's helping you get
As
off
in
it?
To swim across something.
They can help build a boat,
or
whatever
just
it is.
Help you survive on the island.
Help you survive on the island. Mm. Or just help you just pass time on the island.
No, I'm not going to try to pass time. I'm trying to get out of there. So I'm going to be. Oh, man. I don't really know anybody that I would. I just want to be on a desert island with. what is on the island?
We're getting specifics now. Okay. So there's like, you know, palm trees with like coconuts. There's, you know, some like foliage, like bushes and things like that. There's a few animals, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So
it's like a typical typical island. So yeah. Not like a. Complete desert, but typical island.
Yeah, it's a deserted island, not desert island. Yeah, it's a deserted island. So there's no other life except for like you, the two teammates you choose, and some animals and trees and stuff.
So which two guys down in the clubhouse are gonna help you get off it?
Down in the clubhouse. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Can they be in the Bahamas? Because if so, I'll probably ask the Sean.
Sure, it can be in the Bahamas.
All right, all right.
In the Bahamas.
All right, so. That's just tough, man. I don't know.
Sean, because he knows the area.
You're going to need somebody that's a little country as well, because they're pretty good with animals in the country. Probably either Baloo or Will.
Yeah.
As one. I don't know which one of them would be.
Okay, Baloo or Will is one of them. Flip a coin.
And... That's tough, man. I don't know about that one.
Just pick both of those guys.
Yeah, Baloo and Will. They'll help you out.
We can do that. We can do that.
There you go. Okay, and if you were to start a basketball team, so you need five guys in the clubhouse, who do you pick? This is our last question. Most important.
I'm picking Ethan Clark.
Okay.
What position, too? Where you got him in position?
Ethan Clark is probably going to be a small forward or a power forward.
Okay.
Voss, he's going to be center.
Yep.
Who's a point guard?
You can put yourself in there too if you feel like you're that good.
I'm probably going to be shooting guard.
You putting yourself a shooting guard?
But I'm not going to shoot. Okay. I'm going to drive.
There you go. Of course.
Deshaun at point guard.
There you go.
Two more, right?
One more. So you had Voss at center.
Oh, yeah.
Ethan Clark at power forward / small forward. You and Deshaun. So one more.
Brandon White. Yes. Shooting guard. I'll be moved to small forward and Ethan Clark can go to power
a stretch forward. Small forward.
Go.
And
there
you go. That's pretty solid team.
That's a solid team.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good team. But yeah, thanks so much. That's our final question.
Yeah,
Skyler, do you have any more?
No, I don't have anything, but Darren, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
No problem, man. I had fun.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate everything you do for the Owls and wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
And And we're back here on the Owl's Nest. That was Darian Williams, pitcher for the Orem Owls. That was also another good interview. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. So far, like, all the guys that are in the clubhouse, they're just down-to-earth, kind of chill guys. No one... I mean, you can kind of see this on some teams where if somebody's a high-round pick, get a big signing bonus, they're kind of hot-headed or kind of think highly of themselves. I can't name one guy on this team who's a me kind of guy. It's literally like a team down there. Everyone is kind of just chill with each other. No guy is bigger than anyone else in that locker room. And that goes for Deshaun Knowles down to Jeremiah Jackson, Will Wilson, any of the pitchers on our team. And I think Darian Williams is just like one of those chill guys. Like you talked about, he graduated Prairie View A&M with a political science degree. And it's like he's a smart kid and also really good on the mound.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Just it's fun getting to know these guys a little bit better. We can definitely see. We saw a little bit with like Jeremiah a couple weeks ago or last week, and with Deshaun there, you can tell they're a little bit nervous coming in. But then once they warm up to the questions, and it's fun getting to know them a little better and see the other side of them, and outside of just being a baseball player.
Yeah, Darian, one of those guys, I'd say big basketball fan. Talked about playing 2K a lot. Gave us, I like this one a lot though, the top five or the starting five for a basketball team comprised solely of Orem Owls players. And we were pretty close with each other. I had my list, he had his. I think the only wild one was Brandon White, the only one that I didn't think of. But that's something like we're getting to know more about these players, and hopefully you are also being able to understand who these players are, one, and where they come from, and a little bit more about them other than stats and how they look on the field.
Yeah, and so well, thank you for listening to the Owl's Nest this week. It's fun just being able to put out these couple of interviews. Hope you enjoy them. We'll definitely be back the next week with a normal full episode, or maybe even later this next week as this drops. We're not sure. We're figuring out our schedules and everything.
Yeah, but this has been the Late Night, the Owl's Nest.
Yes.
Late Night with the Owl's Nest.
It's been a very special episode. Quinn's found out who his real parents are. I have found love.
Skylar found love. Nathan and Connor found out that they don't like us.
And that they're actually long-lost brothers.
Exactly. And we'll see you next week as the sequel of Late Night with the Owl's Nest.
Have a good one.